Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning. Pump the brakes. President Biden calls on Congress to pass a national gas tax holiday to curb skyrocketing prices.
Just a little bit of breathing room as we continue working to bring down prices for the long haul.
But critics on both sides of the aisle already lining up against the idea.
It's a silly proposal that senior members of their own party have already shot down well in advance.
This morning, the tough road ahead and what it means for Americans desperate for any sort of relief. Overnight, shakeup. Uvalde school police chief placed on leave after weeks of anger and outrage over the botched response to the massacre. And stunning accusations he put officer safety over the lives of children. We're live with the very latest. Southern discomfort. Intense heat tightening its grip across the region with temperatures well above 100 degrees. Al's tracking the record set to be shattered again today and where that wave is headed next. Shark attack. A man being treated for serious injuries after a terrifying encounter off the coast of California.
We could hear someone calling for help, 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 and then splashing the water.
This morning, the witnesses who saw it all racing in to help save his life. Those stories plus drama in the pool. A U.S. swimmer suddenly passes out while competing at the World Aquatics Championships overnight. Her coach taking drastic measures. Underwater photos capturing the dramatic rescue, how that swimmer is doing, and what we're learning about the hero who pulled her out of the water straight ahead. And top dog, Trumpet, makes history at Westminster, becoming the first bloodhound to win Best in Show. And he's tooting his own horn proudly today, Thursday, June 23rd, 2022.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Good morning. Welcome to Today. We're so happy that you're with us on a Thursday morning. Who couldn't love that face?
I never knew I cared so much about a bloodhound winning Westminster until Trumpet came along. Look at him. He's perfect. And he won Best in Show, and this is the first bloodhound ever to win Westminster's top prize in 146 years.
It's about time. It is about time.
It's your moment, Trumpet and Bloodhound Nation.
We're going to visit with Trumpet in a little bit. But let's begin with that. Also, that incredible story out of the World Aquatic Championships. This was incredible. This hero coach dove in to save an American synchronized swimmer. The swimmer passed out, sank to the bottom of the pool. These details are coming in overnight. We'll have all of it in just a bit.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Also this morning, a lot of the country still feeling that heat, record-shattering triple-digit temperatures again. Al's got the full forecast, including when millions could see some relief.
But we are going to start with that call from President Biden to relieve the pain at the pump. He's asking Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months. So today's average still hovering around $5 a gallon. Just let's put that into perspective. Exactly 1 year ago, the price was $3.09. That's nearly $2 less. So will it happen? And how much would it actually help? NBC's Maggie Vespa is in Chicago with more. Hey, Maggie, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. As you can see, the sticker shock here remaining painfully real with prices at well over $6 a gallon. The national average still hovering around $5 a gallon. And President Biden says this federal gas tax holiday could lower prices by 18 cents or more. But his critics in Congress argue there's no guarantee.
With the national average remaining near $5 a gallon, could Americans see some relief at the pump soon?
Is desperately hurting my wallet right now.
President Biden demanding Congress implement a three-month pause on the federal gas tax.
The American people, they need relief now.
The federal gas tax has been 18 cents a gallon for nearly three decades. The White House estimating if states pause their gas taxes too, prices could fall by a dollar. The president also blasting big oil, accusing companies of refusing to boost refining capacity after the U.S. banned Russian oil imports following Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you are paying for the product. Do it now.
At least one CEO pushing back, saying oil production is at an all-time high. Biden's energy secretary set to meet today with multiple CEOs in search of solutions. But ahead of November's high-stakes midterm elections, congressional critics, including some Democrats, are not buying the president's plan. After the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the third time this year, they argue a gas tax holiday could make record inflation even worse.
This ineffective administration's big new idea is a silly proposal.
In downtown Chicago, decades of pizza deliveries,
thank you for coming to Chicago's Pizza.
Both deep dish and thin crust, could be ending for one family-owned business.
It's crazy. We haven't seen anything like this.
Half the drivers at Chicago's Pizza have quit, skyrocketing gas prices, devouring their paychecks.
They're barely breaking even or they're not making enough.
This, as many Americans dread every trip to the pump.
What should the average American, in your mind, be taking away from this back and forth about these painful gas prices?
I think it's the president appears to be trying to provide some relief, but there's also cons to this, and that is that it could exacerbate the imbalance between supply and demand.
And this morning, there's also new pushback coming from outside Capitol Hill. The American Society of Civil Engineers actually slamming the idea of a federal gas tax holiday, saying it will strip billions in revenue right now slated for highway and infrastructure repairs. And the White House actually confirming that, saying it's actually about $10 billion, but adding they can find the money elsewhere. Hoda.
And Maggie, Savannah and I would like to officially welcome you to the Today Show. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Maggie, great job. Now let's move to Uvalde and a major development in the school shooting investigation there. The district's embattled police chief placed on administrative leave following weeks of outrage and criticism over the law enforcement response in confronting the gunman. NBC's Sam Brock with the very latest this morning. Hi, Sam. Good morning.
Yes, Savannah, Hoda, good morning. As members of Congress right now are trying to prevent more massacres like the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas, the police chief of that devastated school district right now officially on administrative leave, as the school district says it could not wait any longer for the state's investigation.
A bombshell development in grief-stricken Uvalde. Last night, the superintendent revealing the school's police chief, Pete Arredondo, is being placed on administrative leave. In part because of the lack of clarity that remains and the unknown timing of when I'll receive the results of the investigations. It comes as frustration in Uvalde has reached a boiling point.
I have to answer to a bunch of bureaucrats up there that haven't been doing their damn job. But that's why we're calling them out today.
The city's mayor blasting the state for calling the police response to the school shooting an abject failure without also highlighting their own role.
Everybody in that hall needs to answer what went on in that hall. Not just Pete Arredondo, not just local Uvalde Police Department.
Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez has filed a lawsuit against DPS requesting 911 audio recordings, police body cameras, and surveillance footage. The acrimony over police protocols coming on a day where state lawmakers also concentrated their attention on another issue.
Mental health is everyone's business. That we all play a role.
That tough conversation coming on the heels of a breakthrough on Capitol Hill.
On this vote, the yeas are 64.
Where 14 Republican senators have joined Democrats on the nation's most sweeping gun law and safety package in nearly three decades.
If this time, after Uvalde, we threw up our hands and said we can't do anything, I just think it would be a crisis of democracy.
The previous benchmark for legislative action on guns was 1994, an assault weapons ban that expired 10 years later. And now we are looking at a situation where there is advancement potentially here, guys. It is not clear, though, how much support we're going to see from the GOP in the House side of things. But one representative who is backing it, Tony Gonzalez of Uvalde, calls to Pete Arredondo's attorney have not been returned. Savannah, back to you.
Sam Brock on the story again for us. Thank you, Sam.
Meantime, the January 6th committee holds its next public hearing later today, focusing on then-President Trump's pressure campaign against the Justice Department to push false claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election. NBC's senior Capitol Hill correspondent Garrett Haake has more on what we can expect this morning. Hey, Garrett, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. Yeah, the committee will hear today from three former top DOJ officials who will testify about the pressure they got from the Trump White House and from at least one Republican member of Congress to help Mr. Trump stay in power. Now, the specific help that was being requested here was a federal investigation, or at least the announcement of one, into Mr. Trump's claims of voter fraud. One committee member explaining it this way, that the Trump White House wanted to essentially borrow the DOJ's credibility to cast doubt on the election results. But these officials will testify that they found no evidence of significant voter fraud, and they opened no such investigation. Hoda?
All right. In the meantime, Garrett, there are reports that the Justice Department's expanding its investigation. They issued a whole bunch of new subpoenas.
Yeah, that's right. So the DOJ and the committee have been running parallel investigations into what seems like similar issues for months now. What we've learned overnight is that the DOJ has issued at least four subpoenas into folks who may be involved in the fake elector plot that was actually the subject of Tuesday's committee hearing. This, according to multiple reports citing multiple sources familiar with the matter. Now, there's no reason to believe that the DOJ's action here is connected in any way to the committee's work, but it does show a fairly significant escalation, if you will, of the DOJ's effort here, sending subpoenas to officials in states like Georgia and Arizona. Hoda?
All right, Garrett, thank you. And you can watch the coverage of today's hearing starting at 2:30 Eastern on NBC News Now, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time right here on NBC.
In the meantime, pressure is mounting on the NFL to do more to address allegations of sexual harassment going back for years inside the Washington Commanders. The issue front and center during a hearing on Capitol Hill featuring testimony from Commissioner Roger Goodell. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the story. Hi, Gabe. Good morning.
Savannah, good morning. Commissioner Goodell faced tough questions for more than 2 hours about the way he handled the commander's alleged hostile workplace environment. Noticeably absent was team owner Dan Snyder, but the committee chair said she planned to subpoena him to give a deposition next week.
The workplace in Washington was unprofessional and unacceptable in numerous respects.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on defense, facing a grilling by Congress over his handling of reports of rampant misconduct at one team, the Washington Commanders. The team was previously fined $10 million after a 2020 Washington Post investigation found allegations of sexual harassment spanning more than a decade. Testifying remotely, Goodell acknowledged the team's culture was toxic for far too long.
Bullying, widespread disrespect toward colleagues, use of demeaning language, public embarrassment, and harassment.
Some of that demeaning language replayed by the committee. Here, a former team broadcaster.
I do think our intern is looking better every day.
Goodell said he'd taken steps to change the culture, saying that the man at the center of the allegations, owner Dan Snyder, was no longer involved in day-to-day operations. But Goodell pressed on why Snyder remains with the NFL in any capacity.
Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him.
Lawmakers also questioned why the NFL decided not to release a written report about the league's own investigation into the commander's workplace.
Why wasn't redaction sufficient to protect the anonymity of the women who were involved in the case of the Washington team?
With all due respect, redaction doesn't always work in my world.
Just before the hearing, the committee released a report that found Snyder orchestrated a shadow investigation intended to discredit accusers and the journalists who reported on them. A spokesperson telling NBC News that the committee's investigation was predetermined from the beginning and a politically charged show trial. One woman who came forward, a former Washington football cheerleader and employee, said she and many others still live with the trauma.
Watching Snyder get full ownership during the investigation was a gut punch. Watching this silly fine and slap on the wrist passed down last year was a gut punch.
Scars, she says, won't heal without a true systemic reckoning.
Former employees like her are calling on the NFL to release the report it commissioned. Snyder himself is out of the country on what his lawyer said was a business trip.
All right, Gabe, thank you very much.
All right, let's turn now, guys, to the scorching heat. Tens of millions of Americans have been dealing with this all week. The result, triple-digit highs, dangerous conditions, and increasing energy demands. We're going to get to Al's forecast in just a moment. But first, NBC's Blaine Alexander joins us now from Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, Blaine, good morning.
Well, Hoda, good morning to you. You know, across the South today, in city after city, we are expecting to see heat records fall throughout the day. Just consider this. Yesterday alone, at least 9 states hit temperatures in excess of 100 degrees, including right here in Mississippi. But this weather isn't just uncomfortable. It is dangerous and, in some cases, potentially deadly.
With summer just barely underway, this morning, millions are already desperate for relief.
Just wanting to be inside in the air conditioning.
Much of the country dealing with week 2 of withering heat. More than 127 million Americans are facing temps topping 90 degrees, and at least 30 million expected to feel highs above 100. It could mean record-breaking temperatures in cities across the South, including New Orleans, Jacksonville, and Atlanta, where splash pads like this are becoming the coolest ticket in town.
A lot of people will be struggling to figure out how to just find an activity that's not going to be just unpleasant in this heat.
And with the July 4th holiday approaching, the heat is forcing some cities to ban fireworks altogether.
The sole purpose in this declaration is to protect persons and property.
For outdoor workers, the scorching summer could bring dangerous, even deadly conditions. It's why OSHA has introduced new federal guidelines for people working outside, water breaks every 15 minutes, mandatory rest breaks in the shade, and steps to help workers get acclimated to the heat. It's all part of a pattern of extreme weather sweeping the country. In Virginia, a summer storm left nearly 80,000 customers without power. The winds strong enough to rip the roof off of this apartment complex. A chilling preview of what's expected to be an especially hot summer.
And guys, of course, all of this is raising that debate over whether or not we should be naming these heat waves, similar to the way that we do hurricanes. Experts say that when it comes to weather-related deaths, severe heat actually causes the most fatalities. So there's a renewed push to name these heat waves to try and bring more awareness to them. Hoda.
All right, Blaine Alexander for us there in Jackson, Mississippi. Thank you, Blaine.
That's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. Brings us to Mr. Roker. Mm-hmm. How's it looking?
Well, we are looking at more heat and humidity. Heat advisories, heat watches, heat warnings stretching from Texas all the way to Florida for 21 million people. Look at some of these temperatures. Could see a record today in Monroe, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, Corpus Christi. Temperatures approaching records in Atlanta and Tallahassee. And when you add in the humidity, it's going to feel like 105 in Monroe, 108 in Tallahassee, 104 in Tampa, Corpus Christi 96, or I should say 106. And as we move into tomorrow, records again possible from Orlando. 100's the record. They're going to come awfully close. Dallas coming close, triple digits there, Wichita, Baton Rouge. And again, you add in that humidity, the heat index is well above the triple digits, 103 in Wichita, feeling like 100 in Birmingham, San Antonio, 102. A trending cooler is really in air quotes, because even though the temperatures cool down a bit, you can see Little Rock Saturday 100, by Monday it's 86. Charlotte 90 on Saturday, 91 on Monday. The temperatures still are above average. So we are looking at heat right on into the beginning of next week for these regions. And that's your latest weather.
All right. Thank you, Al. Coming up, dramatic moments caught on camera overnight. Look at this. An American swimmer sinking to the bottom of the pool after passing out at a competition and her coach diving in to rescue her. Uh-huh. We're going to have the very latest.
Plus, an inside look at another daring rescue. Witnesses racing into action when a man was attacked by a shark off the California coast. Carrie Sanders will share their story and tell us how that swimmer is doing this morning. But first, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, Thursday morning, 23rd of June, 2022. Check it out. Something new here at 30 Rock. This is the Changing Spaces art exhibit. It's an interactive piece. We're going to check it out personally. So you stand there, and then all of a sudden,
the fountain comes around you.
Does it go around you?
Yeah, look, you don't get wet unless you stand right on the water part.
It's going to happen.
Okay. I just want to point out how we're all dressed. We're all in
flow. If you ever wondered if we coordinate our outfits, we don't.
No, we don't.
It's the house of many patterns.
Yes, exactly.
Good morning. Craig's on assignment this morning. Good to have you along. Let's get to our 7:30 headlines. The FDA is preparing this morning to order Juul Labs to take its e-cigarettes off the market in the U.S. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, the move follows a two-year review of Juul, which sought to keep its products on store shelves. The company's faced increased scrutiny from regulators and lawmakers in recent years over the appeal of its e-cigarettes to teenagers. Juul has not responded to a request for comment.
Six people were killed yesterday when a helicopter crashed in the West Virginia mountains. Officials are unclear on what exactly caused the crash, but they did say there was a severe thunderstorm in the area. The Vietnam-era helicopter was used for recreational tours. There's no word this morning on who was on the aircraft. The NTSB and the FAA are both investigating. All right, let's go now to the overnight drama in the World Aquatic Championships.
Yes, American artistic swimmer Anita Alvarez passed out in the water during her routine and had to be rescued by her own coach.
NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has been following these overnight developments. Miguel, good morning.
Hi, Savannah. Good morning. Alvarez was competing in the solo free final, an artistic swimming event, when she suddenly dropped to the bottom of the pool. Her coach saw what was happening, dramatically dove into the pool fully clothed, and pulled off a life-saving rescue.
Frightening moments for an American swimmer who fainted while competing at the 2022 FINA World Aquatic Championships last night in Budapest, Hungary. Team USA artistic swimmer Anita Alvarez was performing her routine in the finals when she began sinking to the bottom of the pool. Her coach, Andrea Fuentes, watching the routine unfold, can be seen initially smiling from the sidelines before she realized something had gone terribly wrong, quickly jumping in the pool to save the 25-year-old. The dramatic rescue photographed underwater. Fuentes later releasing a statement on the USA Artistic Swimming Instagram page, saying Alvarez was seen by doctors. Anita is okay, she writes. All vitals and everything is normal. This is not the first time Alvarez fainted during competition. Last year, she briefly lost consciousness at the Olympic qualifying event in Barcelona, where she was also rescued by Fuentes. Alvarez's father spoke to Craig about the incident last year.
You could see the face on her, and the face just wasn't something you want to see on your child's face. And that was hard.
The head coach writing incidents like these happen in other high-endurance sports. Marathon, cycling, cross-country. We have all seen images where some athletes don't make it to the finish line and others help them to get there. Our sport is no different than others, just in a pool. We push through limits and sometimes we find them.
Miguel, we heard the coach saying she didn't think the lifeguards were doing anything. Were there lifeguards on duty? Why didn't they respond more quickly?
Well, Savannah, that's a big question people are asking right now. Alvarez's coach told a Spanish radio program she decided to dive in because she saw the lifeguards were not jumping in and actually seemed paralyzed and dumbfounded. She even shouted at them at one point, she says, but they were not responsive. Luckily, Fuentes got in time just to bring her back to safety. Wow. Savannah.
Incredible. All right, Miguel, thank you so much. And the fact that she had done it before. I mean, it's a high endurance sport. They hold their breaths
right,
while exerting themselves.
Right, and it's happened. Yeah, it's happened once before, but wow. Thank God for that coach.
Okay.
I'm sure she knew right away there was something that wasn't
wrong.
Right.
Yes.
I'm jumping in.
All right, well, still ahead this morning, we've got a Today exclusive, an intimate conversation with the Home Edit's Clea Shearer on her breast cancer journey, how trusting her instincts may have saved her life, and what she's launching today to help other women in their brave fight.
Plus, a man seriously hurt in a frightening shark attack off the coast of California, but he owes his life to a group of witnesses. They saw what was happening. They raced in and saved him. Kerry Sanders is at the scene with that story coming up right after this.
We are back in depth today. Just yesterday, we told you about that new study revealing sharks are venturing much closer to shore than previously thought. And gosh, right on cue this morning, a swimmer is hospitalized and has serious injuries, too. He was attacked by a shark just off the coast of California.
NBC's Kerry Sanders is there and joins us with the very latest. Kerry, good morning.
Well, good morning. The victim's identity has yet to be made public, but the locals here at Lovers Point Beach say that they know him. He's a regular part of a swimming club, that he was off the coast swimming when, bad luck, he was attacked by a shark. But then, good luck, a number of good Samaritans jumped into action to save his life.
Firm Water Rescue, Lovers Point.
The call went out just after 10:30 Wednesday morning.
We're getting a report that somebody got attacked by a shark. They're still in the water, and there are about four people in the water trying to get to them.
Officers responding to the report of a shark attack at Lovers Point Beach in Pacific Grove, California. The victim swimming about 150 yards offshore when the attack happened.
We could hear someone calling for help, 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 and then splashing the water.
Amy Johns and Paul Bandy were paddleboarding nearby.
As soon as we got close to him, we could see that he had severe lacerations on his arm and leg.
Heath Braddock, a surfer who was working with kids in the area, also heard the cries for help.
So I grabbed a couple boards and took two boards out. As I approached, I saw kind of the pool of blood. It was probably the size of a table or a car.
This video shows Amy, Paul, and Heath getting to the swimmer at about the same time, putting him onto the extra board and then frantically paddling him back to shore. The victim's injuries, extensive.
His leg was almost severed.
Severely injured.
Yeah.
All the way down to the bone. Mm-hmm.
And a lucky break. Paul is a cop. Amy is a nurse.
Paul was calling tourniquet. So like people knew on the shore already in advance to have things that they could use. And so people jumped right in. There was a physician that was there, a nurse, myself and some other bystanders really helped out a lot.
The victim also suffered significant injuries to his torso and arm.
Yeah, definitely the worst injuries I've ever seen, of any accident.
After the attack, the Coast Guard used boats and drones to search for the shark, but were unable to track it down. Lifelong Pacific Grove resident Kevin Phillips, whose security cameras captured the rescue, says that as horrific as the incident was, he was inspired to see so many people jump in to help.
I was really struck by the courage of those people that went out and to save him.
So, Kerry, are sharks normally around this particular beach in California, or was it a rare incident?
Well, the Pacific Grove locals that we spoke to say that they have never seen a shark close to the beach here. But researchers do know that there are an increasing number of juvenile great whites here. And they say they blame that on the increasing water temperatures in the area, Chanel.
It's so scary for folks out there.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. There happened to be a police officer, a nurse, all the right people at the right time.
Thank goodness.
Thank you, Kerry.
Kerry, thanks. All right, Mr. Roker, how about a check of the weather?
You know, interestingly enough, talking about warming waters, well, because of this heat wave we've had in the south, the waters of the Gulf have really warmed up. The Louisiana coast over the last 7 days, the waters close to the coast, warmed up 2 to 4 degrees in the last week. And in fact, coastal buoys reporting the water now close to 90 degrees. That's 3 to 6 degrees above average. Why do we care about this? Well, as we get into hurricane season and we see tropical development, this is where we would start to see rapid intensification. So these water temperatures are the fuel for the engines of hurricanes. So we're going to be watching that very closely. Now, eyes to the sky. We've got a parade of planets early tomorrow morning. If you look to the east about 45 minutes before sunrise, you're going to see Mercury, Venus, the moon, not a planet, but Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. It's the first five-planet alignment since December 2004. Now, this is going to last through August, but tomorrow morning is going to be the best time to see it. And so if you've got fairly clear skies, look to the east, try to get away from any ambient light, and you will get to see one heck of a light show. Next time we see that alignment, one of us will be on a Smucker's jar.
Wait, 2040? Let me do the math.
18 years
really?
From now. No, almost.
Well,
not close. Quite. Close.
Are you going to get up and watch it?
We'll be up anyway.
You'll be up anyway.
Oh, I'm going to wait till 2040. Okay, I got tomorrow off. All right.
Coming up next, the adorable face we cannot stop talking about. This is Trumpet. Trumpet the Bloodhound. He won it. He got best in show at Westminster. First time in 146 years a Bloodhound's done that. We'll talk about that right after this.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty Narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
Join me, Esther Perel, every Monday in my office on Where Should We Begin? I'm talking to couples and individuals about love and work, about turning conflict into connection. More than ever, our relationships define the quality of our lives. So let's explore the myriad of relational challenges together. See you Monday.
Now, what is that? That's a bloodhound, isn't it?
I think this is a tremendous dog, and I would say maybe in 2 to 3 years this could be a champion dog. But I just think it may be a tad immature for this year.
Just trying to get a little playing time in. Just an idea off the top of my head. Why didn't he put the bloodhound, put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows is.
But it would. I think it would really get the crowd going. You know what I mean, Sherlock
Come on, that's a broker favorite. Best in show.
Oh, all right, Fred Willard.
But Fred Willard, guess what? There actually was a bloodhound that won. It was a crowd favorite last night. The Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
Gosh, after 146 years, it has happened. Trumpet, look at Trumpet, took best in show, the first bloodhound ever. Why the long face, Trumpet?
Well, he beat out six other finalists, right? Including Winston, the French Bulldog. Hollywood, the Maltese, and MM, the Lakeland Terrier.
So the dogs are judged for how well they embody their own breed. Bloodhounds, described as being noble, dignified and characterized by wisdom and power. And boy, if that's not the embodiment of that right there, there you go. And when asked what he's like outside of competition, his owner described him as having a lot of attitude and being, quote, a little crazy.
Well, his owner looked surprised when they called out the winner, too. How great.
And didn't even need the Sherlock Holmes hat.
No.
You know?
There you go.
Didn't need a gimmick.
But we did get a statement from McGruff. He's very proud.
McGruff. So bizarre. By the way, apparently that Maltese was a crowd favorite. A lot of people thought the Maltese was going to win.
Oh, that second?
If you're keeping
the Maltese, the one with the hairdo?
The white one.
Yeah.
The blowout.
There we go.
Beautiful dog. But congratulations to Trumpet. By the way, Trumpet is coming to visit us in the fourth.
Really?
Really?
Fun.
We're very fancy.
You have to toot your own horn about it.
See what she did there?
I don't know.
Very good.
I didn't see that great last night.
Very Roker inspired.
Thank you.
She's got a ton of one-liners.
Guys, just ahead, the TikTok sensation behind her first 100K. She got millions of followers, and she's going to join us to share her best financial advice and answer your questions about budgeting, saving, and investing.
Plus, the first from Prince William and Kate will show you what they're doing to celebrate 10 years as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Coming up, your 8 o'clock hour.